Every year around this time, the leaders of nations and the titans of business convene in Davos, Switzerland. For a time, they were the masters of the universe. Their lavish cocktail parties and corporate skiing jaunts drove home the point. Things are a little bit different this year, though. The world economy is in a pretty sorry state, and the business elite is likely to take a backseat to political leaders and central bankers at this week's forum in Davos. Vivian Walt is Time Magazine's Paris correspondent. Well-placed, Vivian, I know, to find out who's going, who's not going, and what might take place in Davos. Now, this, as we said, has been a glittering showcase for market capitalism for years now. What are you hearing about what's going to happen as of Wednesday?
Well, Lisa, a lot of the glitter has obviously faded since the last time people met in Davos. What a different world that was. You have Citigroup CEO Vikram Pandit is not going. One of the strategic partners of the World Economic Forum was the insurance company AIG, which is in a bit of a shambolic state. The head of Goldman Sachs is not going. Last year, you had Lehman Brothers there, of course, that no longer is in business. So this is a very different World Economic Forum this year.
And that's who's not going, Vivian. Tell us about who is going to be showing up.
Well, interesting enough, you have perhaps more heads of state than ever before. You have 41 heads of state, including two men who are increasingly powerful in the world, Vladimir Putin and the Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao, neither of whom have been in Davos before, and both of whom are likely to make some fairly news-making statements there. So this is hardly an event that you can write off quite yet.
But will American officials be alongside, say, Vladimir Putin, Russia's prime minister, and Wen Jiabao, the Chinese premier?
Well, no. You have in Washington a brand new administration, and they have a lot of work to do in Washington. Valerie Jarrett, the advisor to President Obama, will be there. But, you know, of course, his Treasury Secretary nominee is still going through nomination proceedings. He will not be there. And neither will Larry Summers, who is a Davos regular. So there will be no-shows, along with a whole lot of glitterati that you usually have, like Sharon Stone, Claudia Schiffer, Angelina Jolie. None of those will show up in Davos this year.
And, you know, does the U.S. stand to kind of lose out a bit here simply because it doesn't have a presence? I mean, it certainly would say something if Barack Obama were there, but does it stand to lose, you know, the ear of the world by not being there?
I think no one is in any doubt that the U.S. is still the most important player globally. And even though its president is not in Davos this week, that is still the case for most leaders there. And I think the U.S. can rest easy that it's not going to be forgotten in Davos, even with its low-key presence.
Vivian, given the fact that so many people are cynical about Davos and what does go on there, what is the greatest accomplishment that Davos can claim over the past, say, decade?
Well, there have been some great moments at Davos, and one shouldn't necessarily just regard it as being a kind of love fest for the rich and powerful of the world. For example, in 2001, Bill Gates stood up and announced that he was putting $100 million into his global vaccine fund. For many international NGOs and governments, this was regarded as one of the most important sums of money donated to a single issue, and it's still regarded as that. So when you do get a lot of people together who have a lot of power, a lot of money, some concrete things can, in fact, be accomplished.
All right. We'll see what happens this year and later on this week. Vivian Walt, Time Magazine's Paris correspondent. Thank you.
You're welcome.